Questions? Desire and a conscious effort, like Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram means that I recognize that I have a certain level of attachment that I can't give up, and a certain degree of sense enjoyment that I have to undergo in this life before I can actually be freed from it over a, say, medium term or long term period. But I accept the way of fulfilling that sense enjoyment through the process of regulated sense enjoyment, which leads to detachment. I'm doing that. I'm entering the Grihastha Ashram not in order to fulfill my senses, but in order to fulfill that desire so that I become free from that desire. And when that is the methodology and motivation by which things are undertaken, then it's the proper conduct. It's not offensive. If it's done with the idea that let me enter Grihastha Ashram to gratify my senses, and not with the idea of regulation, not with the idea of ultimate detachment, then that becomes offensive. So, like yesterday, it's not the activity, but the consciousness behind an activity that determines whether it's binding or purifying. So, all of us engage in different types of visharangi, different types of sense gratificatory activities, but we want to do it with the right consciousness, and the right consciousness is called doing everything in Krishna consciousness, like eating, where the real essence of eating is to take food, prasadam, in order to nourish the body to be able to continue rendering devotional service, and as a act of worship, as an act of purification. Devotees may not always indulge in taking prasadam with that mentality. They're not always conscious that, oh, I'm doing this as an act of worship. Radha Krishna Guna Gao Prene Dako Chitanya Nitai, to develop love. But when they do it, that knowing that that is actually the goal, that is where they're trying to go in order to partake of prasadam with that mentality, then they get the proper result. If if they're just eating, ooh, let's eat, here's a great feast, and let's just enjoy ourselves, then they don't get the same type of benefit because the consciousness is different. What does happen is that they do become purified because they are engaged in spiritual activity, purificatory activity. They, look, here's Rama Devi. She's, I don't know what she's going on the wrong way. And gradually one will come to that consciousness because the activity is ultimately in itself purifying also. So right consciousness should always be there. And that's what makes the difference between something that's offensive and something that's paka, something that's proper. Where is she? Oh. Did you bring up the dates? That's that chatter you were making? That has to be cape-wise also.
Just wraps around them. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out how to do it to accommodate it.
Great.
That's very funny. That was actually doing something for them when they asked me they're doing
that. Yeah, that was really coincidental. Does this fit in that box? Okay, what else? The what?
Sharanagati. Try to develop
10 years, you can't be a beginner. You can't be a, it's like, you know, 25-year-old man, you know, saying, oh, I go to nursery. 25, nursery isn't for 25-year-old people. If you're 25 years old, you should be getting a PhD, what to speak of being a nursery. So that's just in itself. Beginning is really for beginners. It's for people who walked in the door. And if after 10 years, the question is still about being a beginner, but it's not the process of Krishna consciousness. Process is natural, systematic, gradual advancement, but it can't be too gradual. This is Krishna says, Mami Kam Sharanam Braja, that we should surrender to him. So we should learn the process of surrendering and then do that. It goes on from one stage of surrender to another until one becomes really surrendered to the level of Arjuna, or Nanda Maharaj, or whoever. But, you know, we can't always be at placing ourselves at this position that, you know, as if we just walked in the door. Because then that's what we're expecting of ourselves. Whereas that isn't where we're meant to be, and that's not what we should be expecting of ourselves. We should be expecting more. And if we don't expect more, then we won't do more. And then that in itself means that someone's not surrendered, doesn't want to surrender. That I just want to play the role of being a beginner all my life. So what he may think and feel like a beginner, but practically speaking, he has to be cultivating aspects of progressive devotional service. Just like someone may be a PhD, that doesn't mean he goes running around with his diploma in his mouth and telling everybody that, you know, I'm a PhD. So he may act like an ordinary person, but he doesn't study like an ordinary person, and he doesn't teach or live like an ordinary person. He lives by what he knows. Outfit that the devotees made, because the deities, Radhisham, have an outfit, and it's just made of little silk flowers. It took they made a thousand silk flowers, and they just sewn on the big. I have a picture of the big version. Anything else? one thing, if someone wants to surrender, then he surrenders. In other words, he doesn't surrender overnight. But then he progressively moves along the path of surrender, just like if you want to get somewhere, then you start walking. By walking, you're naturally getting to your destination, and that's called surrender. That's called Sharanagati. But if you don't start walking, you get nowhere. Then it's useless asking, how do I get to my destination if I'm not going to walk anyway? What were you going to hands are. More important to how devotees' hands are. Their consciousness is. Ultimately, the devotee doesn't matter where Krishna's hands are, or what color he is, or whether they're up or down, or here or there. He's perfect, whatever he's doing. More the issue is what the devotee's doing. And like Jagannath, and let him finish, are rough, and because if you're conscious, those things are not an indication. If someone's a materialistic person, then they places emphasis on those. Just like with Shalagram Shilas, it said that if Shalagram Shila is broken, then a person shouldn't worship it. But that's for materialists, because materialists will think, if the Shila is broken, that must mean that God is broken. But that's just the problem of his consciousness. It's got nothing to do with it. There's no Om Purnamada Purnamidam, whether he's half a Shila, full Shila, three-quarters Shila, is always perfect in any condition. Doesn't mean anything to a Vaishnava. Or in materialistic devotees, they think that if a deity has been damaged, that it can't be worshipped anymore, because the Shakti or the potency will flow out where it's damaged. Actually, the only place the Shakti is flowing out is out of the person's head, because he's such a mundane consciousness, thinking that Krishna is subordinate to some type of material law. That's how we got Radhalandanishwara. That's why they didn't install him, because deity was damaged. The Prabhupada couldn't care less. Doesn't make any difference. Krishna's never damaged. thing is who it is that's going to be doing the worship and what state of mind they're in, not what state deities are in. Pure devotees, they don't give those things much consideration. They just think, here's Krishna, however he is. Phenomena, common things that devotees sometimes do is they come and look at a deity and then they say, what's he made of? So right in front of a deity, that's like, you know, someone coming up to you and asking, you know, in front of you, say, you know, what are you made of? What am I made of? Satchitananda Vigraha. Or even someone says, oh, come before the deities, oh, the deities are really nicely painted or something. As if, you know, some deities are not nice. So, having a nice awareness that deities are the Supreme Lord and that they're persons. Everything else is really sort of a detail. Just like Prabhupada always, Prabhupada would quote the saying that mother thinks that her blind son has lotus eyes because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So if someone has love, then the deity is always beautiful, whatever shape they're in or pose they're in. Of course, that's not an excuse for being sloppy or unclean or not being up to standard, which unfortunately very often is the case. People are very enthusiastic to worship deities, like to have some big deity installation, and then after that, they just ignore the deities. So everything should be, yeah, here's God, and giving the most attention to him.